football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Welcome to another week of CBFA Podcast. Usually James is the one doing the intro, but I feel like doing it this time. We are live on location in the Dome in Encana Field, live at the first day of CBFA Selects Tryouts. So by the time this is done, it's going to be about a week later. But yeah, hi James, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm thankful for the time change this morning. I got that extra hour of sleep. I sure needed it.
I feel the exact same way. It was sleep was definitely needed after a long day yesterday.
Long day
being city final Saturday.
City championship Saturday.
Yeah.
City finals for yesterday. Or we had
what a day it was.
We had some very exciting football. Three games. Starting with the Div 3 championship game between the Chiefs and the Mavericks. And in that one, the Chiefs come out victorious 54-30 on a really strong performance by their MVP, Xander Alaric, who scored three times. And also Caden Vanis had a really big game with a couple of punt return touchdowns for the Chiefs. And the player of the game for the Mavericks was Nico Civitarese, who also had three touchdowns for his team. It was an exciting game. Lots of action, lots of scoring.
It was really, really back and forth for the most part. Chiefs started off really strong in that one, which was nice to see. They kind of put things together late in the season. I mean, they had the pair of late season wins against the Hilltoppers, including the first one in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see, you know, winners we don't normally see, right?
For sure.
And yeah, no, Xander Alaric had one heck of a game. Like you said, three touchdowns really, really helped the Chiefs offense move the ball. And the Mavericks just really couldn't seem to do much against it. Some of his touchdowns were, you know, they're starting on their half of the field.
Yeah, he had some really long runs. Some of them that scored, some of them didn't. They were able to track him down and tackle him, but not until he already gained 40 or 50 yards.
Yeah, so it was just one heck of a performance. And then there was their player of the game as well on the defensive side of the ball.
That was Caden Vanis.
Yes. He also had an outstanding game, making all sorts of tackles for them. And again, yeah, the reason why we have a different player of the game versus a playoff MVP is the playoff MVP is also for the other game or games that happen throughout the playoffs. So for Div 3, it was the other game because they only played the one semifinal.
That's
the
right.
Bye week. Whereas for Div 1 and Div 2, we also account for the quarterfinals and semifinals. So we head into that game already having a list of players that are likely candidates. But I mean, if somebody had a stellar performance, then, you know, still get player of the game, still potentially could become MVP, but
absolutely.
We already have a rough idea based off of already things that are happening. But, you know, it was a stellar performance from the Chiefs all around. And the Mavericks, you know, they played well. They played their hearts out and just came up a little short.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was probably the story of their season. They did make a lot of strides and improvement this year compared to last, but they've still got a little ways to go, and I think they can take away a lot of positives from this season, and I think we'll be interested to see how they come back next year, how they respond.
Well, it's that, and it's how many players do they have returning too?
Yeah, that's always tough for all of our Bantam teams. They always have a fair amount of turnover with players aging out and new ones coming in from the Pee Wee programs. It's always the teams that have consistency and coaching and philosophy from Adam and Pee Wee all the way up through past their Bantam and Spring League programs. They're running the same plays. They're familiar with them. They know the drills. They know what to do. And they're already hitting the ground running. By the time they get to Bantam, they're familiar with it all, and they can just go out there and play football.
Yeah. And now we'll hear from Xander Alaric, our Division 3 MVP. All right, football fans, we're here with our Div 3 MVP. Xander, how are you feeling after this game?
Pretty excited. Pretty hyped. Yeah.
Three touchdowns today. Can you walk us through your big plays?
If I just see open field, I just run to it.
How do you think your team executed today? Did you guys stick to your game plan? Did you need to change anything? Did the Mavericks give you a bit more of a headache than you were thinking initially?
I think we played perfectly. We had good blocking, everything. Couple mistakes, but...
Lastly, anybody you want to give a shout-out to in the crowd?
My mom.
Hey, Xander, go enjoy this with your team.
So Xander's not very wave for words, but... You know, young kids. They might become more talkative later in life.
Well, sure. You know, if you are going to be the star of your team, you're going to get microphones and interview requests, and you're going to have to learn that side of the game, talking to the press and speaking in public. It's part of the entire package.
No, it's really funny because when I don't think it was in the recording. When I first started it, or talking to Xander, I called him over and he's like, "I'm not gonna have to talk, am I?" Like, "Yeah, no, you're gonna have to talk." And then one of his coaches piped up, "See, I told you." But I know it's all good. It's all good. You know, things happen, and it was a late idea I had to interview the players of the game after the game. You know, just something unique to bring to our championship games.
Sure, I think. It's a great idea, and we'll have more preparation and hopefully better results next year.
Yes. Moving on to our Div 2 final, we had the Eagles playing the Bulldogs in probably our tightest game of the day.
Yeah, that one was, it was tied. It was all Eagles for the first half, and then late in the half and into the third quarter, the Bulldogs staged a return. They came back and they managed to tie the score early in the fourth quarter. That's when the Eagles really took over the game. They scored twice more to seal it away and win 29-15 for their Division II championship.
No, and it was a good game from both teams. It was definitely one of those defensive battles that I think we were expecting. Both those teams' defenses played and then carried those teams throughout the majority of the season. I don't know off the top of my head the exact number of points that each team gave up. I mean, I can look it up on my phone here, but I think compared to what their offenses did, as we hear the freight train roll by, I don't know if the recording's picking up. But if we compare it to what their offenses did, like their defenses were stellar and outperformed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
196 points given up by the Bulldogs defense, 254 given up by the Eagles defense through 11 games each. So it's not bad.
No, like, no, that's not too bad.
Bulldogs gave up 6 more points than the Wildcats did, who finished 9-1-1.
Wow.
So very, very good defenses from both sides. It was a result we were expecting.
It was a close game, close match. Eagles were just. They had a late season surge. I think they got better as the season went on. They were able to fix a lot of their mistakes that they were making earlier in the season. I think they were a little more disciplined, not taking as many penalties. And they were full measure for the victory, for sure. And now, as a result, they get to move on to the...
Provincials.
The provincial tier 3 provincial championship game. And I'm not sure who that's against because I lost that.
I believe it's against the Beaumont Chargers.
Yeah.
I think. We'll confirm that for you.
Oh, I gotta switch over to the Football Alberta website.
Oh, good luck with that.
Well, I had it here. Of course, it is Football Alberta website is calling it the Bulldogs playing, but we know that's wrong. The final, November 11th, sometime between the 10th and 12th, our Eagles will be traveling up to Edmonton to play the Chargers, the Edmonton Chargers, who defeated the Beaumont Bears 39-13 to earn their berth in the Provincial Tier 3 Championships. So it'll be Eagles, Calgary Eagles versus Edmonton Chargers in the Capital District up in Edmonton next weekend.
And looking to bring back the provincial trophy that the Wildcats won last year.
That's right. The Wildcats managed to defeat the Spruce Grove Cougars last year.
And now we'll hear from our player of the game in Division 2, Daniel Bowers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with our Div 2 MVP, Daniel Bowers. Tell me how you're feeling right now.
I'm feeling good. I'm proud of my team, how they performed today. It was kind of slow at the start, but we picked up the pace, and at the end, we won the game. So I'm proud.
You got a couple touchdowns today. You want to walk us through some of your big plays?
I guess we had some good passing plays in the first quarter. It opened up the middle for my runs, and my team had some good blocks, and I got big yards.
How do you think your team did? Like, how do you think you guys executed your game plan? Do you think your opponents, the Bulldogs, gave you a bit of a headache at all at any point, or did you guys just execute everything flawlessly?
I think we did our game plan, but the Bulldogs put up a heck of a game. They're real hard hitters, and they're a very good team, but we tried our best, and we did our game plan, and in the end, we won the game. So it's a job well done.
Lastly, is there anyone in the crowd you want to give a special shout-out to?
I want to shout-out to my sister, my mom, Austin, who got the player of the game this game, and all the fans of the Eagles. Thank you for coming out and cheering us on.
Congratulations, Austin. Go celebrate with your team.
So Daniel was a lot – Daniel was a good interview.
That was a good interview.
It was nice. It was a little loud, but it was good. He was heated the moment, and it
was exuberant and excited. And that's just what you'd expect from somebody coming off the field after a championship victory like that.
Yeah, no. The Eagles looked like they had they were really liking that interview down on the sidelines. Like their whole team gathered around and you could hear him cheering. While the interview is being done, they were loving it.
They were, yeah.
And I'll move on to our Division 1, the main feature of the day.
The main
championship.
Event. The big tilt between the undefeated teams.
Cowboys looking to defend their Division 1 back-to-back championship, and they did not disappoint.
No, they did not. They looked like a team on a mission. They were running on all cylinders, offense, defense, and special teams. The Wildcats are a really, really good team. We know this. They didn't lose all year until yesterday in this championship game. It was their first loss of the year. And they looked completely outmatched and outcoached, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a few instances, too, where it's like They were down to a third and inches on the 5, and they throw to the end zone.
Yeah.
Instead of going for a QB keeper, getting a new set of downs, they throw to the end zone. The pass falls incomplete. Now you've turned over the ball. The Cowboys managed to, in a couple of plays, work it out of the shadows of their goalposts, if you will.
Yeah.
And they just made the Wildcats pay for questionable coaching decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the entire game, falls on
no.
the shoulders of the coaching staff.
Certainly not.
The Wildcats coaching staff did a spectacular job all season. Like, they give up so all the coaching staff give up so much time.
Yeah.
No matter what team they're on. But yeah, there's just some questionable decisions that risks, gambles that just did not pay off for the Wildcats, and it proved costly.
It did. It was just a matter of the Cowboys taking advantage at every chance they had. They did not waste an opportunity. And they end up winning the game 42-0. Now the Cowboys get to move on to the provincial Tier 1 semifinals, where they'll be playing Saturday, November 11th at Stampeder Field against
someone from Edmonton.
Insert happy music here.
No, that's Jeopardy. I'll probably get copyrighted if I do that.
Tier 1 semifinals. So the Calgary Cowboys will be hosting the Sherwood Park Rams this Saturday, November 11th. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. And the Sherwood Park Rams, they had lost to the West Edmonton Raiders 26-0. So in the other semifinal, the Lethbridge Junior Rams will be taking on the West Edmonton Raiders. And then the winners of the Rams and Raiders will play the winners of the Sherwood Park Rams and the Cowboys in the provincial final.
And the Cowboys obviously looking to
Cowboys
repeat as
will be,
provincial champions.
Yes, looking to defend that provincial Tier 1 title.
Now we would insert our audio clip of with Xander Denio, the Division 1 MVP, but we had some technical difficulties on the recording aspect of it. I was not down there. It was Grant Pollock hosting it with the recording device that he's not familiar with.
Yeah, he wasn't familiar with the operation.
Unfortunately, so unfortunately we did not get that one recorded. So apologies to Cowboys and Xander's parents who may have wanted to hear that. But we'll work on... Actually, I mean, we're probably our plan in place for next year. And not just going, oh, hey, I thought of this at, like, midnight last night. Let's do this.
Right.
But no, it was a good interview as well. I know everybody heard it live because we also broadcasted it over the PA system at Heliod Field. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up everything for City Final Saturday. Of course, we are here at the Select Tryouts watching a bunch of young talent hoping to become the final 30.
Yeah.
Heading to Vegas in a few weeks' time. What have you liked so far from here at the Dome?
Well, this is only my second Selects practice or tryout that I've ever been to. The first one being about 6 or 7 years ago outside in the cold on Heliod Field. So this is much more comfortable inside the Dome. It's also much nicer outside. The weather is absolutely gorgeous for November. So although it's nice to be in the Dome, it's not strictly necessary today. It'll be better as we move along for these kids, for sure. You know, preparing in minus 10 or minus 20 weather for a game in 30 degree heat in Vegas isn't ideal. So this is a better setup for sure, preparing for Las Vegas.
Now we got our little table set up on the one yard line here, where the corner flag is for soccer on inside the Dome. Just watching, chilling, recording the podcast. Try to get some interviews from hopefuls or select hopefuls. Maybe some of the many coaching eyes that we have here as well.
Yeah, we're more likely to talk to coaches than players at this point, because the coaches are working out the players pretty steadily, and they've already warned us that if we get a chance to talk to them, it won't be until after.
So if you do hear any of the players, if we do manage to get any, it'll be after. So just know that we are not distracting any of the players. We're letting them and all the coaches do all of their things.
Yeah.
So we can ensure we have the best results in Vegas and try to win as many games as they play, I think it's three, Grant was saying, a couple weeks ago in our
Yeah, you say they have one, they start with a friendly, I guess, just to prepare, and then two tournament games.
I don't know how that, so is it like a semi-final and then a championship?
Yeah,
there's
so many teams down there, they can't possibly play every team available. That would be too many games.
Yeah, I just don't know the whole process of the tournament. I know Grant said that we've won it a few times. So it's like, you know, if we go like 2-0, is it like...
I think it might come down to a points four, or maybe a vote for your favorite team. We're the Canadians and we're always the favorite. At least we are at home.
I mean, some of our listeners might know more than we do. We're new to this. We don't know what happens in Vegas.
That's right.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
This is 1 yard speculation, 1 yard line.
we just sit here and we look pretty and we don't get told anything. You know, a lot of football happening in and around Calgary. Of course, the high school city finals also. I mean, their Div 1 game yesterday. Ernest Manning also three-peating, just
Ooh,
like your Cowboys.
How about that?
It was actually a fantastic game they had against Francis last night. They were down 17-0 at half, came back and won it.
Wow.
Scoring a punt return touchdown for the game.
Wow.
Won it 21-17.
You love it when special teams comes through like that for you.
And of course, we heard from Chris Glass, the head coach of George Mack, weeks ago. After our homecoming tournament, his Mustangs played the Foothills Falcons. They unfortunately lost. That was a provincial battle, that one.
Ooh.
George Mack actually was the first Airdrie team to ever play in Tier 1 of Football Alberta playoff provincials.
Really? Huh.
They opted up from Tier 2 this year. So a lot of our Raiders players probably heading to George Mack, one of the three high schools up in Airdrie next year. You know, Chris Glass well, and I know he'll be trying to recruit some of the talent from the Raiders. And of course, we also have other high school stuff going on. I've got another game on Wednesday for Div 2 finals. Undefeated battle between Scarlet Central and Bishop Carroll. Div 2 title, and of course we always have all the high school provincial playoffs that are happening as well, the hunt for the Alberta Bowl.
Right.
So just because we're done doesn't mean football in Alberta is done.
That's right. We've got a few more weeks to go.
And of course, all of the selects prep leading to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. We can talk about the 50-50.
Oh, yes, we had actually a good select here.
The 50-50 had a very strong finish, and the prize was drawn yesterday. I didn't see who the prize winner was, but we know that the payout was over $2,000. So I would like to thank everyone who purchased 50-50 tickets to support the selects this year. It's going to make a huge difference. I think the total support from the 50-50 for the season was in excess of 5,000 for sure. I think it was closer to 6,000.
I think Mary was saying it was the total that 50-50 selects should be getting. Because, of course, you know, there's fees and stuff we have to pay that doesn't come out of a winner's side. It just comes out of the side that we keep for
right.
the selects program.
So it's
I think it was about
50, 45, and 5.
I think it was probably about $5,500, so $5,500 that we managed to raise this year just through, 11 weeks? Yeah, 11 weeks of 50-50 of draws, which is good. It's nice to see that support. And of course, all that will go to just things for this Vegas trip, you know, reducing a little bit of the cost, food.
Yeah.
They'll again, we don't know exactly what that's going to be going to. People who actually know what they're doing will allocate all that money.
yes, let's just be clear that we are big supporters of the Selects program, but we are not on the organizing committee.
What happens?
We've had a few coaches and parents come and ask us some questions this morning, and we had no answers and kind of felt dumb. But, well, I can't speak for you. I felt dumb. Not
yeah,
knowing
that's,
any
that's
of the
above
answers.
My pay grade. I don't know.
So we'll share what we know. And
that's
and,
not much.
It's not much. It's about 30 minutes a week.
yeah, so we'll hear from any coaches if we get any, or any players if we get any. But I think that'll wrap up.
That will
this week.
Yeah, we might include a clip or two if we can get one on this week's podcast to wrap up the city championships. Any more, we'll try to do additional podcasts that are
we got at
focused
least one,
on the Selects.
We got at least one next week. We have our provincial games next week.
Yeah, I think we can touch on that while we're talking Selects. But it'll be
it might not be next week. It might not be next week, but we will have at least one additional podcast at some point in time.
That's right. And I know the first two seasons we haven't done a provincial recap, the finals.
I thought we got one last year.
No, we intended to, but I got I got pulled away.
But we did have our special one earlier this.
That's
the,
right.
Before
we did,
the season.
We did the preseason.
The preseason because we had the. A lot of our players playing in the Alberta Summer Games in Airdrie.
That's right.
Which was so, very easy to do because I was announcing all those games.
And this offseason we'll be looking to create more content for additional off-season podcasts. We're hoping to get some more information, talk to Alicia about the women's football and they play in the spring, so hopefully we'll get some interviews and put out a podcast in the spring focused on our Bantam ladies.
Well, James, I will say I did do a lot of the announcing for our women's league last year, and it was actually it wasn't the 12 aside that we're used to with the Bantam football, but it was still good football.
Yeah.
It was nice to see, and it's good development, and I know there's, you know, things like the Airdrie Rage, I believe that's the...
Are they called the Airdrie Rage? I thought it was Calgary Rage. The Rage.
The Rage. I know the Rage will... I know they were looking at it as like a grassroots thing, like, because they, for many years, they've been trying to have that development into women's football, and just having a younger starting point and having players that'll actually know a thing or two about football before getting to their level, and having some playing experience is really beneficial for them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll do it for this week. We'll catch you with more information at some point in time in the near future.
That's right. So, until next time, thanks for listening.
And go football.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Schold Ice Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening.